This spiritual hymn was written just about 100 years ago by George Bernard. It's called The Old Rugged Cross. It was one of Betty Pease's favorite songs, and she instructed her husband of 60 years, Frank Pease, to make sure the song was played at her memorial. And he did, reluctantly.
That was one of her favorites, and her mother's funeral they had it, and her grandmother's funeral they had it. I don't care for it. It's a tearjerker.
Frank mentioned his feelings for the song when discussing Betty's memorial service with their pastor, Doug Scalise of the Brewster Baptist Church.
I said to Doug when we were planning the service, I said, look, Betty made me promise for years that we'll sing this at her funeral. I said, Doug, I don't like it. He said, but you know, Betty isn't here. You don't have to do it. And I said, if I meet up with her again, she'll kill me. So let's do two verses. And so we got away with that.
In life, Betty Pease was compassionate. She loved conversation and people. But she also was a woman with strong convictions who knew what she wanted and what she thought was right.
Betty was the kind of person who always had an opinion about something, and she was happy to let you know what it was.
That's her friend and pastor, Doug Scalise.
Whether that involved something that was happening at church or in the town or in the country, she would tell you in no uncertain terms what she thought about it. And a lot of people don't do that.
Scalise referenced Betty's strong demeanor in his remarks during her memorial service at Brewster Baptist Church. The audience chuckled knowingly.
The day of Betty's memorial service, we had a very stormy day, and it was overcast, and the wind was really blowing. It was rather dramatic as the branches were swaying, and so I shared at her memorial service that it was an appropriate day because it got your attention. It was blustery, and it was significant. A quiet, placid, blue sky day just wouldn't have fit.
Betty's maiden name was Walden, and she was born in Worcester in 1929. She and her family came to visit Cape Cod that first summer, a tradition that continued throughout Betty's life. She later would bring her husband Frank to the Cape. Growing up, Betty always wanted to be a nurse, and as it turned out, she was good at it. She cared for people, and she competently directed other nurses as they cared for people. She graduated from nursing school in Boston in 1950 and took a job in the operating room. Her husband says she went on to spend nearly 30 years as the director of nursing at the Pearl River General Hospital in New York.
She was a good nurse, good to the patients, pretty tough on her colleagues, but expected to get the same from them and from her superiors. She was a very good nurse, superb diagnostician. The doctors she worked for frequently asked her opinion on things, and it was usually right. And she enjoyed it. She enjoyed it.
Betty was taller than most women. She was taller than her husband. And Pastor Scalise says she could be an imposing presence when she walked into a room, a person of stature in both height and reputation.
Her bearing, her physical bearing, and her ability to be clear about her thoughts and to correct people if they needed correction. I'm sure some of the nursing students were probably a little intimidated, maybe even a little scared at times, that they would let her down or somehow... garner her wrath for something that they did that they shouldn't have done.
Betty was interested in the news of the day and politics. When she lived in New Jersey during the middle part of her life, she was active in the Republican Club there. When she retired, she filled her life with gardening and golf, church and community work. People who knew her say she was compassionate and generous, volunteering and serving in various ways with her church and at the condominium complex where she lived.
She enjoyed traveling, enjoyed her job, and was a feisty. In fact, some of the notes we got back from people, condolence notes, that Betty was a very feisty person. Got along well with people. She spoke her mind, okay? A good, solid citizen, let's put it that way.
Scalise says Betty and Frank were among the first people he met when he moved to Brewster in 1995. Betty's life, he says, reminds him of the film It's a Wonderful Life, when Clarence the Angel tells George Bailey about how every life touches so many other lives.
Betty, certainly through her work in the medical field and as a nurse and a director of nursing and a nursing instructor, you think of all the lives she impacted and touched that then spread out through hospitals and medical centers, both in Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey, where she and Frank lived. Certainly she impacted a lot of lives.
During the past 10 years of her life, Betty often took on the role of patient rather than healer, a change she didn't like and sometimes refused to accept. Betty suffered from osteoporosis, and while she easily recommended medical procedures and therapies that could benefit friends and colleagues, personally, she often refused doctor checks and hospital visits. Frank says that she would suffer for days rather than go to a doctor.
If I had had her problems, I would have been lowered in a snake's belly. But she put up with them quite well. She, because of osteoporosis, she broke 5 vertebrae in 5 years, one at a time, each one requiring an operation. This is just in the past 7-8 years.
Betty Pease died at Cape Cod Hospital on Sunday, December 16th. She was 83. For years, she had ignored a serious hernia that affected her breathing, refusing to have it checked by a doctor. Her husband Frank says that by the time she agreed to seek help, the hernia had become far too serious and could not be corrected. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.